Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, here we go. And remember your three S's, Jim. Star, smile, strong. Okay, let's do this thing. 3, 2, 1. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your listening pleasure. And don't forget to go to my webpage, my landing page, as you said. Just go to WGNplus.com, and you'll go to the entertainment section. There's a prompt there for Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. And there will be 110 previous episodes, because this is episode 111. Yes, sir. We have I have three aces in my pocket right here, and so this is actually episode 111. Now, some people who are close listeners to the podcast may say, "Wait a minute! The last time you posted something, it was 108, and then you posted a 110. Where's 109?" Oh, you mean there could be a missing podcast? Perhaps there is a missing podcast that is floating out there somewhere. And maybe sometime during the run of this, I will release episode 109. It's kind of like Prince and all of his the things he used to like suddenly have in his vaults. So this is like the Black Album, episode 109, the missing Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic episode. Will it ever be unearthed? Can you find it somewhere on the internet? Maybe you can. Maybe it's hidden on the dark internet, or whatever that thing is called. Or no, that's a deep state, right? No, the dark, there's a black internet or the dark internet. I don't know. Is that politically correct? I'm not sure. There's something black or dark out there that's not good on the internet. I don't know what it is, but maybe that's where episode 109 is. Or maybe just one week, suddenly episode 109 will appear. So if you didn't catch that, I'm letting you know that I guess in the internet world, that's called a cookie. I'm sending you a cookie. And I guess for this, the way it is, it's a hidden cookie. It's a mysterious cookie. But so 109, is it out there or isn't it not? Will it be released or won't it be? The crowds are clamoring for episode 109. Maybe someday I will release 109. But right now, I'm doing episode 111. And to help me do episode 111 is our regular contributor to the podcast, Emily Armonetti. Hello, Emily.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Listen, I have to tell you, I think it's the dark web.
Right, the dark web. What did I say?
The dark web.
What did I say?
I don't know. You were like the dark internet, the dark the black internet. Web. You were so close. You were so close.
Well, it's the deep I know the deep state isn't good.
The deep state, yeah. But you know, here's the funny thing about the dark web, though, because I, too, have heard of the dark web, but I don't know how to get there.
Well, that's my point. That's my point. And I don't know. Perhaps episode 109 is on the dark web. I don't know.
But you and I will never find it because we don't even know.
I don't even know the terminology of it. So I certainly don't know where it is. You at least, you know, in fact, before we started the podcast today, I am not completely technology ignorant or anti-technology. In fact, my wife and I just came back from a little jaunt, if you will, to Los Angeles. And
oh, I did too. Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
When were you there?
I was there the ninth, 10th, 11th?
No, I literally came back yesterday.
Oh, okay. I was there a few weeks ago.
But here's my point is that I rented a car. Now, as those of you who listen to the podcast or on my radio show on a regular basis, you know I do not enjoy driving up mountains or hills or valleys. I like straight driving. But all right. I did get a car because there's not too many hills unless you go into the Hollywood Hills.
Well, that's where I was staying, in the Hollywood Hills.
Oh, yeah. Where were you staying?
Well, I always stay at the Chateau Marmont.
Oh, do you go there all the time?
I do. I don't go there all the time. But when I every few years we go to LA, just the two of us for a couple days, just to get away. And I just say I don't think I can stay anywhere else.
Yeah,
so
no,
that's where we stay.
I've stayed there a couple of times. I love the pool there. It's so cool.
Yeah,
and it's so great because it's a small little kind of boutique place. Of course, that's where John Belushi died. And so that's why it's infamous. But did you see any celebrities stay? Because a lot of celebrities stay there.
So let's see. Well, the only celebrity we saw there was having brunch there. I don't think she was staying there. But it was one of the actress who plays the sister on This Is Us. You know, This Is Us? Yeah. It's like a huge show.
I'm aware of it.
Right. Okay. So we
just so you know, it was my idea to come up with the Pop Culture Club segment. So I know about pop culture.
I know. Well, I watched some of the first season of that show, but like I kind of dropped off a little bit, so I couldn't even tell you what her character's name is. But we saw her.
Okay, well, that doesn't really count.
But we didn't see. Why doesn't that count? She's on a huge hit show.
Oh, my God. But you don't even know who she is.
But I'll tell you, though, we didn't see like we have had trips before where we've seen like really big, you know, I mean, I saw like David Spade and Sean Penn and Robin Wright Penn all literally in the same like hour, like sitting. They were together hanging out.
I saw Julia Roberts.
We were having drinks once.
I saw Julia
Roberts. Ooh, that's a good spot. Yeah. Like we have seen some pretty A-list people, but I would say on this trip, not so much. We did see Lou Diamond Phillips. You may be interested in that.
That would have been big news in 1988.
Wait, but do you know what? Of the random people that we saw on this trip, he was for sure the one that was going way out of his way to be like, I don't want to be recognized.
Oh, how great is that?
Because he had like the dark sunglasses, the hat pulled way down in the gate area waiting to get on the airplane. You know, I was like, it was like immediately my eye was drawn to him because I'm like, why is this guy wearing sunglasses in the gate area? And then as soon as he sat down, he pulled he had the shades and the hat down, and then he had a hoodie on. He kind of looked like the Unabomber, actually. I was like, you couldn't make yourself look more conspicuous. We saw him. We saw this actress. I don't even really know her name, but she is on The Americans, which is a show I really like. And so I recognized her right away because I'm like, oh, I know that girl. I know her face.
Yeah.
And we saw Nate Berkus. Remember Nate Berkus of Oprah? You know who he is? Well, didn't he live in Chicago for a while?
I think I think that's where she met him, didn't?
He's an interior designer, but he had his own show for a while.
Anyway,
a random assortment of people.
But that's a nice little place because it's actually in a somewhat busy area, but it's kind of up, and then
it's on Sunset.
It's got all the different it's got a nice little shrubbery there, and so it's almost like this little hidden spot, amongst all the craziness. We were staying in Santa Monica, though. We were staying by the water.
Oh yeah.
Which I love Santa Monica. I just love being by the beach and everything. But anyway, so I was up on the freeways, and so the original point of this. Wow, that was
get to the point.
Yeah, that was 10 minutes ago. Was that I used GPS?
Oh my goodness.
I don't think you can drive around LA without GPS.
No.
Because
when you say you use GPS, okay? What are we talking here? You used like the GPS in the car?
No, my wife's phone.
Oh, your wife doesn't have a flip phone?
No, see, we are connected. I'm just not connected. Although the funny thing
you're not.
Yeah, but she has it on her iPhone, and that was invaluable because not only is there a lot of traffic in LA, everybody talks about the traffic in LA, but there's just as bad traffic here in Chicago, so I don't think it's all that different.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
But the difference is that their freeway system is very complex, and many entrances and exits to other freeways are connected within the same freeways within the same lanes. And you have really got to be diligent to stay in the right, in the correct lane, or you will be off into another direction. And so thankfully, you know, the GPS was like, stay to your, in those second to the right lane, and you, and then go take a right at the fork, a lot of forks.
Yeah.
And so that really was the way that we got by. So no, I am not a, a complete technology, you know, anti. Although I have to say, we went to.
But you do have a flip phone.
I do have a flip phone, but here's the thing. So you know, we went to the Dodgers game. The Cubs were playing the Dodgers. That was the main reason that we went out.
Oh, okay. Oh, really?
Yeah, so we went to see the Dodgers, and that was a game that the Cubs won. In fact, Javier Baez hit a grand slam, which was very exciting.
Oh, wow.
So we're sitting next to a couple of Dodger fans, a nice guy and his 20-year-old son, and they were nice, and we were talking throughout. And I had my Cub jersey on, but, you know, I wasn't making a big point out of it, you know, except for the grand slam. Then I stood up. I'm like, come on, I have to, you know, this was awesome.
Yeah.
But a friend of mine was texting me, because I do get text on my phone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good.
And so I pull, and I don't even think about it, and I don't even think about how odd it looks. To me, it's normal, you know? And so I'm sitting there looking at the text, and I was texting back, you know, and it takes me 25 minutes to text, because you have to go through all those letters, you know, right, to find your right letter. So it takes me like 25 minutes to say, yes, I am here. You know, are you at the game? And my response was, yes, I am here. And that took 20 minutes. And so we went back and forth a couple times, and I put the phone down, and the guy goes, I have to say something. He goes, do you have a flip phone? And I said, yes. He said, I am so jealous.
Oh, what?
And I said, why? He said, because the simplicity of that. I am on my phone so much that it's just to see that flip phone. He said, I used to have a Motorola Razr, and I loved it. And I said, yeah. I said, you know what? I said, now, you know, Jamie here, my wife, has an iPhone, so we are connected in case. But in terms of my day-to-day, I said, as I've said many times, there's too much on my flip phone. I've got too many apps. I've got bowling and Tetris. So I don't know.
You have like the gray screen. Right. It's not even black and white. Right. It's like black and gray.
Right. Exactly.
Tetris.
And
yeah.
I have Pong. Pong is on there too.
Yeah, right. But he's right, because you're just out there. You're out there in the world. You're living life.
Right.
And meanwhile, everyone else is just staring at their phone.
I swear to God, it is a. I should really do a cultural and psychological experiment, because I'm sitting at the gate, or we're in the Admirals Club, or wherever at the game, and I'm not looking at everyone else's head is down. All I know is, my posture these days is so much better than anyone else's I know.
Yes.
I have no osteoporosis in my back or my neck. I'm looking straight ahead toward life.
And do you know what all those people are doing?
Nothing.
They are, you know what they're doing? They are staring at photos of food other people have taken.
Well, that's my point.
On Instagram.
I have a friend, and he got. You know, I saw him recently, and I hadn't seen him in a while. He lives in Boston, and he's like, "Oh, would you just get an iPhone?" You know, he's like actually mad at me,
right?
And I'm like, "Why?" I go, "What? I have. I'm not. I don't. I'm not missing anything. In fact, I got news for you. I'm to your point. Like you just said, I'm actually." I'm experiencing more because I'm not, you know, being, overrun by the minutia of nothing.
It's true. And you know what I just realized? You're actually so far behind that you are light years ahead of the rest of us.
Yeah.
I'm
like Stephen Hawking. I'm in a wormhole right now. I don't even know. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know where I'm at.
I mean, for as much as I tease you about it, I'm actually starting to get on board with this.
Well, I'm telling you, and I've been screaming in the forest for several years, and I'm always getting the shrugs, But I've always felt, and now, I mean, I'm, you know, I just saw an article, in fact, that Apple is beginning to address this, and they might be coming up with some new software that can limit your use to help people.
I think that is a good idea.
Yeah, and yeah, I'll tell you, like I said, but I don't feel I'm missing anything and at all. But anyway, I just thought it was funny because he was like, wow, I really. And I said, well, you know what? I said, if you want, I can go home and get my Nokia. Because I still have that little phone.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, but anyway. So, yeah. So, I am involved. So, we did go to California. I was driving on the freeways. And it was an interesting. It was a nice little trip. And so, I do use technology. So
you were on the actual highway, not the information
super
highway.
No, I was on the super freeway highway.
Yeah.
I was from Santa Monica. I was basically taking 10 west most of the time and going over to the 405. And then a lot of times, and then to get to Dodger Stadium, I took the 110 off of 101.
Right. Yes.
So that was so funny because you know you watch a lot of these shows and you hear the 405 or the 101, and I'm like hey I'm on them now. We did go to the Hollywood Bowl as well.
Oh, okay.
And we saw Rod Stewart and Cyndi Lauper, and that was a good show.
Did you really?
Yeah, I've never been to I've never been to the Hollywood Bowl. I always wanted to go. I've wanted to see Elton there.
Yeah.
He hasn't played there in many years, and I don't think he's going to play there in this this farewell tour. So I said, well, let me go to the Hollywood Bowl because I've always wanted to go. But sure enough, when I walk in, and that was up kind of a hill, so I did sort of have to drive a little up a hill, but it wasn't too bad. And when you go on the 405, it's kind of steep. You are driving sort of through the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
I have driven up and down Sunset Boulevard, and I have gone up into the Hollywood Hills a few times. And I don't have the guts to drive on Mulholland Drive. That's a little much for me. But
right.
But I have done that. But my point was, I was just going to the concert. I walk in, and there is this. You know, they've got. It's very much like Ravinia here in Chicago, in that they don't have the grass though. But it's a very kind of pastoral thing. You know, venue. And people are walking around with their wine and all that stuff. And it's built into a hill. It's really in the hills there. And there's this little sign. It's like this history thing. And it says, the Beatles played here in 1965. And there's a picture of good old Elton, apparently. And I wasn't even aware of this. He holds the record for most appearances at the Hollywood Bowl by a rock act. And I did not know that.
Wow, I'm actually surprised you didn't know
that.
Yeah,
but now, I mean, unfortunately, he hasn't played there in many years. And when he did play there, a lot of times it was in the early 80s and in the 70s and other times when I wasn't able to go. And like I said, what the heck? While we were in town, the Rod Stewart show was there, and I've never seen him. So I said, well, let's go. I want to go to the Hollywood Bowl. So we went to the Hollywood Bowl.
Well, I think that's really lucky that those two happen to be playing there while you were in town, because that, what a great show to see.
Oh yeah,
right?
No, yeah. I mean, so we went, yeah, we were only there for like 3 days, but we jam packed and stuff in, then Monday Hollywood Bowl, Tuesday Cubs, you know, we were like boom, 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 you know, it was,
yeah.
But my point too was that, when we're at the Hollywood Bowl, to get parking is, I've never heard this in my life. They stack you in a line because there's nowhere to park. You're up on a hill.
Yeah.
And so they literally stack you one behind the other, and you cannot, unless you Ubered there, they say there is, you cannot leave because your car is jammed in.
Yeah, you're in there.
And you have to literally wait until everybody in your aisle comes back to their car.
Wow.
Yeah, or you can't get out. I've never seen, I don't know what they would do in the case of an emergency or somebody has a heart attack or something. Because the cars are just stacked, and we sat there for a good 40 minutes until everybody in our row was there. Because if not, there's cars on each side of you, and there's cars behind you and cars in front of you. So
yeah,
you have to, and it's luck of the draw if your row moves based on who came out.
Right.
I've never seen that before. I mean, I've been in some crazy parking lots. But wow, to just be basically jammed in there. was.
So what you're saying is if I ever go there, I should definitely Uber.
Definitely Uber, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you another thing about Los Angeles. I don't even hear people mention the word cab anymore.
No, we Ubered everywhere when we were there. We always do.
Yeah, Uber. Yeah, so.
And not even Uber, Uber X. You know what Uber X is? That's like, you know, if I decided to just be an Uber, you know, it's just like a normal person, normal car.
Right.
Like, and just like, you know, Uber X is like the lowest end Uber you can get. Oh, really? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you were to Uber X, that would be like, I would come pick you up.
Like, what is it, like in a jalopy?
Well, that said, I don't drive a jalopy, but like pretty much, yeah. Back when I was driving my Toyota Corolla, I would have been the Uber X driver.
Thought the X was actually it sounds actually more.
No, the Uber. I think the nicest level Uber you can do is like Uber. I want to say it's like Uber Lux, maybe. Yeah, and then you're guaranteed like a luxury like SUV or something.
First of all, I personally can't Uber. On my own because of my flip phone, but my wife.
Right.
In theory, we could. Oh, now here's another thing that I discovered. I don't know the last time you were in, in California. You said you're just recently there, but
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't know how if they are as prevalent as they were in Santa Monica because of the beach and everything. But I think the Segway is gone.
Oh.
The Segway is gone, and there are these electric scooters.
Oh,
have you seen those? That you can use an app, and then you just drive on them, and then it's almost like those bike sharing things,
like the city bikes,
where you can, right. but they're these electric scooters,
and you just leave them,
and
wherever
you leave them, and they go pretty fast, and along the beach they're just standing there because everybody's just driving up along the sidewalk along the Santa Monica Beach. And throughout Santa Monica, there's like, you know, scooter lanes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was a band, Scooter Lane, until I saw that there was actually, and these guys were driving on the street with cars in these scooters.
Wow.
And they do zip, and so.
Well, actually, now that you mention it, because we stopped in Santa Monica on the Sunday on our way to the airport just to have lunch. You know, Shutters on the Beach is just there.
I have.
So we had lunch there.
I have Shutters. We have breakfast at Shutters every day. The greatest steel cut
oats. It's great, right?
Steel cut oats every day at Shutters.
But, you know, now that you're mentioning it, when we were coming out of Shutters and we were getting ready, we were pulling out because, you know, it was a nice stop over on the way to the airport. So we just thought, well, we'll go there for lunch and then get to the airport.
Yeah.
There was a girl who was on like a scooter like that, but she was with a guy who was like running alongside her.
Yeah,
it was kind of weird.
Well,
so, I think I did see one of
these scooters everywhere. So and then we were walking down by the beach one day. Excuse me. And so, and I had never seen these things, and everyone had them. Like I said, I didn't see a Segway. Those Segways are gone. If you remember, 20 years ago, the Segway was supposed to change transportation in the world.
Oh, was it? I don't even remember.
When they announced the Segway, I don't know who invented it, but it was some high profile, you know, Silicon Valley guy. They said, this guy has just invented a personal transportation, you know, and that's why all these people were investing in it, because it was going to change, personal transportation forever. And then when it was announced, people went, oh, that's it? Well, I tell you,
people always look a little weird on them.
Yeah, and they're kind of hard to, for people to get their balance on and how to use it. But this little scooter thing, I didn't see one Segway now. I remember going in the past to Santa Monica, especially once again, and people were riding Segways, not a Segway to be seen. The scooters are there. They're small. They're light. They're easy. They just have the handles, you know, like a motorcycle would have, you know, stop and go. You jump on them. And so there was this guy that I saw that was walking to each one of them. And so I thought maybe he was cataloging them, like, you know what I mean? Like, so I walked up to this guy. He was a young guy. He was in his 20s. And I said, are you the scooter guy? And he says, the scooter guy? And I said, well, yeah. I said, what are you doing? I said, I see you going to each scooter. I said, are you logging in the scooters or something? And he goes, no, I'm using them. And I said, oh, I said, well, you know, I said, I'm from Chicago. I said, I don't really, we don't really have these things there. I said, what? And if we do, they're not in my neighborhood. Right. So I said, what do you do? So sure enough, he showed me. And I guess the reason he was going to a couple was because it wasn't working. But so once again, with this damn iPhone of yours, you know, there's a little barcode on the scooter.
Okay.
And you log into the app, the scooter app. Once right. again, I thought that was a band. And then you go on.
It probably will be. Just wait until the Lollapalooza right, lineup is exactly. announced next year.
Hello, Chicago. We are Scooter App. Thank you. Good night. We are opening up for Scooter Lane. Hello, everybody. Scooter Lane here. Is it hot out there?
I like how Scooter App is a decidedly American band, yeah, but Scooter Lane is British.
Yeah, well, no, his real name is like, you know, Robert Crumpet, but he changed it to Scooter Lane. He's from Croydon. He's from East Croydon, and that's why. But I guess all you do then you go into the app, and then the same. I guess it's the same kind of technology that. For those weird people that use that app when they get on a plane, which drives me up a wall, I like a nice paper ticket.
Well, you are not going to like what I have to tell you because I am flying tomorrow and I checked in for my flight today. And
that is the
and
worst.
A little, and it popped up on my screen and said, would you like to save your boarding pass in your Apple wallet? And I was like, don't mind if I do. And so I saved it in my Apple wallet. So when I get there,
Apple wallet I have is a red one when I was 7 years old, and it had like a cowboy on it.
I am going to go straight from the car to the security line with my boarding pass on my phone.
Yeah, I can't
don't need
that.
To print anything. Don't need to stop at any counters.
I like a nice printed ticket. She goes, thank you. It goes, boop, thank you, thank you. She gives it back to me. I've got the ticket in my pocket in case anybody says that I'm sitting in their seat.
Right, yeah.
I don't need any of that BS. But, so anyway, he goes on there with the little thing and with his little app and his iPhone, and he puts it down on the barcode that's sitting on the scooter. And apparently it's like 15 cents a minute.
Oh, really?
And then you just can take it wherever you want and then just leave it.
So there's no, you just leave it? Like there's no kind of parking anything?
No, like I said, that's what's so crazy. Everywhere you walk down the street, there's a scooter.
Yeah.
And then, and especially, like I said, along the sidewalk on the beach of Santa Monica Beach, it's just lined with them. But then as we walked around the neighborhood, we saw several of them. Once again, like you said, there's no like a bike where you put them in a bike rack.
Right.
I guess the lure of this is that you're just walking down the street and maybe you're tired and you go, let me, I might scooter home now.
Right.
You know, and in fact, Scooter Home is Scooter Lane's brother.
Scooter Home.
Yeah, Scooter Home. It used to be Scooter Holmes, but they were afraid of the Sherlock Holmes thing, so they went with Scooter Home. But no, so yeah, so it was. I'd never seen those before, and it was clearly that is the trend, at least in the Santa Monica area. And
yeah.
As I said, the Segway, that was made for most of the West Coast just because of the weather. How were you ever going to use a Segway in Chicago 12 months out of the year? It'd be impossible. It's ridiculous.
Right. Yeah, you know, it doesn't work there.
No. But and if you remember, you know, there were these Segway tours that they would have. You know,
okay.
I don't know if they still have those.
They do them in Austin. They do. Because whenever I'm downtown and I run into a Segway tour group, I always think there's something a little sad about it.
It is very sad. Just,
you know what it is? There's something a little sad about seeing young, fit people.
Right.
Instead of just walking, just walk. You know, you're young, you're fit. Like, you don't need to be on this Segway. But anyway, we do still have them here in Austin.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I guarantee you're going to have the scooter soon.
Oh, I'm sure.
I guarantee you, because that thing.
This totally, I could see that catching on here in this town. I could, Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so yeah, but he just showed the barcode, but apparently it wasn't working on a couple of the ones, so that's why. But then all of a sudden he showed me, he goes, oh, there you go. And he jumped down and he zipped away.
And said, toodaloo.
Yeah, he said, I'm off. And I said, well, have fun. And, you know, because I ain't doing that. I'll tell you that much.
But I love how you're almost like an anthropologist. You're like out there, you see this guy and you're like, now what are you doing?
Right. Oh, I'm very curious.
And,
yes.
And he teaches you this whole new thing. And then he just jumps on.
And then he just jumps on and leaves. And says, I'm off to my next, I'm off to my next client. My next experiment.
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that was the one big cultural kind of eye-opener that I had not seen. I hadn't been to Santa Monica in a couple of years, so it's just amazing how, you know, all of a sudden, because there were segues up and down the, up and down that whole little boardwalk there.
Where
You know, by the Santa Monica Pier and everything. And now it's just scooter heaven. And I was just like, wow. I mean, and everybody's on them. In fact, there's a lane. The funny, this is how, talk about how times have changed and how technology has really overcome. So there's this sidewalk that runs parallel to the beach that you can walk up and down all along from Santa Monica through Venice Beach and everything. Okay. Well, now, because of the popularity of the bikes, obviously, which are always there, and runners, and now the scooters, was, as I said, these things, they run at a good clip. I mean, these are not just, you know, going 2 miles an hour.
Yeah, you don't want to accidentally step out in front of one of those things.
So the best part is there's this huge sidewalk that's very wide, and now the only place for walkers... has been designated by, like, you know how the bike lane is usually that small little lane on the side?
Yeah.
Like on the street?
Yeah.
Over here, the walk lane is the small, you can't even walk two people. It's not even that wide, and it's on the edge of the sidewalk. That's where you can walk. The middle, the majority of the middle is all for scooters and bikes. And runners and walkers are almost like, you know, you are a dying breed, but we will at least make some concessions for you because it would be very hard for you to walk on the sand. So we will at least give you some sidewalk space, but you are clearly the minority.
Right.
And you are.
And you have to walk single file. So were you and Jamie walking single file?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. Because then, don't forget, I've got scooters parked in my lane. Because that's where they leave the scooters. And there were a few times when we did actually have to walk single file.
I think the civil engineers need to get on this.
They just have to make this thing. They just have to make the sidewalks wider. I mean, I'm sorry, but my gosh, I mean, I was just like, wow, I feel so relegated. You know, because if you're not, if you're not a part of that scene. Then it's almost like you are, I feel that I, in Chicago here, I can at least still manage. But, I mean, if I lived on the West Coast, I mean, yeah, they would probably kick me out.
You wouldn't.
I mean, I could.
You wouldn't survive.
No, I don't think I could because
or maybe you would just never leave your house.
Yeah, because
you couldn't leave your house.
Or I would just be scorned by society.
Right.
On a minute by minute basis, because everybody there is just with their heads down or on a scooter. I mean, that's pretty much the whole thing. So the irony is when Emily and I started to talk about what we're going to talk about today, scooters and cell phones. And Santa Monica and Robin Penn and Sean Penn were not on the agenda.
And Lou Diamond Phillips. Leave him out.
Lou Diamond Phillips and the Chateau Marmont. In fact, I still have my Chateau Marmont scratch paper. You know the paper?
Of course I know it.
I always steal it. In fact,
but you know what bothers me, though? So this is what they do. So they always put in the desk. They have the little paper, the pad, and they have the most... like finely sharpened pencil you've ever seen. I swear, I thought it almost poked a hole in my purse. But then they always have like a personalized stationery. But when we stay there, it's always printed up with my husband's name on it in residence. It says, you know, like, instead of saying like Ms. Emily Arminetti in residence, that's what it says. It's always his name. And so one of the times we were there, I commented on it, and he, as a joke, had them print one up with my name on it.
Oh, how funny.
But I'm like, I mean, I guess it's because the booking is in his name, but, you know.
Now, were you staying in one of the bungalows or just a regular room?
This time we stayed in a regular room. We actually almost, we thought about upgrading to a bungalow, but the thing is, I actually, here's what I think. Because we've also stayed in suites there. I think the suites are the best place because the bungalows are kind of a little bit separated from the building. You know, they're kind of out by the pool.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually prefer to be in the main building. Yeah. Like we had a great suite once that overlooked the garden, like the patio, which is like honestly my favorite place on earth. Yeah, it's the beautiful patio at the Chateau Marmont.
Yeah,
and I like being in that main building better than the bungalows.
Yeah, I'm just saying the bungalows have become
but I think John Belushi, when he died in a bungalow.
Yeah, was in a bungalow. That's what I mentioned. Yeah, he was in the bungalow.
Yeah. So no, I haven't stayed in a bungalow yet, but we had the option to upgrade to a bungalow this time, and then in the end we decided not to because it was such a quick trip. It was like two nights and it didn't make sense.
Yeah. So anyway. So what we were going to talk about here was basically about what was going on in the pop culture world. I mean, we certainly talked about pop culture without even officially talking about it. But we were going to talk about the whole idea of the biggest news. The last time that you and I spoke, it was the whole controversy about Roseanne Barr and Samantha Bee and her, you know, Samantha Bee's comments. And she's been able to weather that storm. But obviously, Roseanne was quickly fired, and in the meantime, they have now announced that that ABC decided that the show still was popular. We hate to just put a tack in it and get rid of it. So while they canceled the Roseanne show, they have now picked up a show called The Conners, which will feature everyone on the Roseanne show except Roseanne.
Right, I know.
And so, I mean, that was, you know, I mean, that was almost one of the biggest, well, no kiddings around. I mean, as soon as this happened, and I think we even talked about it, and it was being bandied about on the internet, almost as soon as Roseanne was fired, about a possibility of bringing the show back without her and the rest of the family, because it is a strong cast, especially when you've got people like Laurie Metcalf and John Goodman. I mean, you certainly have enough. You have enough acting chops and star power to, in theory, carry a show. And Sarah Gilbert, certainly, her character was probably the strongest of all of them in terms of her story with the two kids and coming back home with her, her Darlene character. And then, of course, now think about this. If this Conners thing sticks around, and they've only ordered 10 episodes, so I guess ABC is also a little, kind of we'll wait and see what happens.
Yeah.
They're not completely bought into it, but they're certainly bringing it back. But, don't forget, the Darlene character is married to to Johnny Galecki.
Right.
From Big Bang. And if Big Bang finally gets, says goodbye, when there's always been threatening every year that this show is going to be the last season, and who knows if this might be the last season. If that goes away, then he could become a regular on that show.
Right.
Especially if the show itself takes, as they've said, may take now more of a concentration on Darlene's character, and the supposition here is that the Roseanne character will have died. Which makes sense, because if you watch the last episode of the first reboot season, she was having some problems with her knees and with some addictions to painkillers. So it really is not a stretch to have her possibly have died for some reason, either on an overdose or complications in surgery, you know, getting her knees.
Oh yeah, that's right. She was Dan was trying to encourage her to have a surgery, and she was nervous about doing that. Well, she was nervous about it. They were also trying to figure out how to pay for it. So that was already part of the storyline.
Yeah, so it's not going to be, it won't be a huge, leap if they do decide to kill her, which I think they've said they've done that she will be dead, and now they'll have to deal with her loss. So I guess my question to you is, I don't know. Can a Roseanne show survive without Roseanne?
Oh, I think so. I mean, look, I think that, again, like you said, Laurie Metcalf and John Goodman are, like, honestly two of the best actors on TV today. I mean, TV, I think, is kind of lucky to have them back. I think Darlene's character, I mean, it's an easy transition given the way that it was already set up. It's an easy transition to make her kind of the central plot point or character on the show. And quite frankly, even back in Roseanne's original run, I honestly think Darlene was one of the best. I mean, she was the best character, actually. You know, even though, like, Jackie was great and funny, and of course Dan is funny too and whatever, but Darlene, I think, was kind of like, I don't know, it was like her edge, her sarcasm. People just liked that, you know? And she was a kid then. And I think she was one of the most popular.
Yeah, and don't forget, it was kind of her idea. I mean,
right.
I also, just as a backstory, she was, she's on the talk with Sharon Osbourne Julie Chen. I would say Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan. Oh, God.
Julie Chen, who has 17 jobs at CBS because, of course, she's married to the president of CBS, Les Moonves. So I wonder how that happens.
Right.
But anyway, I don't think Jackie Chan is married to Les Moonves.
No. You would definitely be seeing a lot more of Jackie Chan on CBS if that were the case.
But if you remember, I guess about a year or so ago, John Goodman was a guest on the show. They did a little parody takeoff with Darlene and Dan. They did a little skit on the show, and it was based on the popularity of that and the reaction that got. That was the impetus for getting the band back together. And so it really, and she was an executive producer, Sarah Gilbert. So, I mean, this really has kind of been her baby to begin with. So it's as you said, not only has her character always been the most interesting, certainly of the kids, but now given the kind of situation that they put her in of coming back and having two kids to raise, and she still has that cynical edge, and she's got this kind of on again, off again marriage. And so there's certainly a lot of grist for the mill there. And now, if Roseanne is in fact going to be killed off, now the dealing with the family without the matriarch and certainly, a main force in that family. Forget about Roseanne Barr, the actress, just the character of Roseanne. You know, she was the middle of that family. She was the core of that family. And so how they would all go on without her would certainly give them a lot to deal with, well, not only in a comic way, but certainly in a dramatic way. So, on paper, there is definitely, as you said, signs. But I'm just wondering, is that character pivotal or not?
I mean, it remains to be seen, obviously. And it will be interesting to see how they handle her departure from the show from a plot perspective. But
everybody's going to watch the first episode. I guarantee that first episode is going to get an amazing rating.
Yeah, right. I mean, look, I think if they have the same, writing staff, I think the show can be just as good. I don't think from a quality of show perspective, I don't think Roseanne, I think they can do it. I really do. I think it's a strong enough cast. I think they had a great writing staff for this reboot last year. I thought the show was just as funny this time around as it used to be, 20 some years ago when it went during the original run. So I think they can do it. And I also think audiences, like, you know, the people who were watching it, who were enjoying it this time around. I think, you know, people, I don't think people were going to watch the show with Roseanne after what happened with, you know, the whole tweeting right. scandal. And so I actually think people will be rooting for them and wanting to see them do well because, you know, there's a whole cast and crew behind this. And it would really be a shame if all of the work and effort that they put into this were to be, you know, sort of dismantled because of one person. So I think you're right, though. I think certainly, like, out of the gate, they'll probably have very high ratings. There will be, like, a curiosity factor to it as well. But
Well, like I said, and what I think is going to be interesting, though, is, you know, is when we really get down to this. I mean, Roseanne has apologized, and to her credit, you know, they needed her approval in order to do this because, you know, the show, she owned the show, she owned the characters, you know.
Yeah, she created the characters.
Yeah, so this, you know, this was her baby, and she not only allowed this to go on, but she apparently has no financial or creative input at all. I mean, so my point is, even if this, let's say this is a hit show, she will get none of the profits. It's not like she's going to be like, well, who cares? Because if it's a hit show, I'll still make some money. She is completely, well, you know, separated and disconnected from this project, even though it was her baby.
Right. And, but I also think that is essential to moving forward with it, because I think if she were in any way gaining from this financially, I don't think audiences would.
Oh no, I understand that, but I'm just saying to her credit. I mean, she clearly.
Oh, yeah.
She stepped up. I mean, I think she realized, you know, for whatever was the motivation to make this tweet, which now seems like 100 years ago already.
Right.
But whatever the motivation was, I think she clearly has seen the error of her ways. She's seen. She first got a little defensive. I think she's realized it's just a different time, and regardless if it's a different time, what she said was just out of bounds, no matter what time it was. But I think that she realized that there was a lot more at stake than just her career. There was all these other people, especially people behind the scenes. I mean, they said there's some like 200 jobs, so not even just.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. So I mean, she really did step up to some extent and said, okay, look, I screwed up. And I will allow this. If it becomes a hit, great. If it becomes a, you know, if it doesn't get picked up after these 10 episodes, then maybe it wasn't meant to be. And then the answer to our question, can a show about Roseanne's family, you know, survive without Roseanne? We'll see. But here's the thing. I don't know if you, did you watch all the episodes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, as I said earlier, this was not Roseanne's idea. You know, this was Sarah Gilbert's idea. You know, it sort of came to her, and then she went to everybody and obviously had to go to Roseanne first and say, look, hey, you know, we did this thing on The View, and it got a lot of reaction, and hey, you know, would you be up for coming back? I really wonder. I mean, I don't know the motivations, and she hasn't said anything. This is clearly my own little conspiracy mind, but, you know, I wonder if Roseanne maybe didn't want to do the show anymore. You know, maybe in her mind, she did these 10 episodes, and maybe it'll be fun to get back into the daily, you know, the daily grind of this, whether we want to call being on a TV show a grind or not. But in her mind, it may have been. And so she did these 10 shows, not knowing if anybody would care or not. And then it becomes this major hit, and she's got this major hit on her hands. And maybe she was just content at staying at home on her macadamia nut farm. And not being back in the grind again and having to do this. And so I'm wondering if there was some kind of a, you know, premeditated self-destruction button here. And then the real reality of what that would mean, it's not just you, it's everyone else. But because it seemed to me it was very well, you know, timed in that the show was just getting back. It was just renewed, but I mean, it was renewed right away. But, you know, the writers were just going to get back to work like a couple days before on the new season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I just think, I don't think she's that calculating. And I actually think that she was just that dumb in that case. I'm not saying, look, Roseanne Barr on balance probably isn't a stupid person. I mean, she's made some, you know, she's been clever enough to get where she is today. But I do think she was just that, like, you know, oblivious and dumb about the remarks that she made on Twitter. And I just think the timing was coincidental. I don't think unless it was super sub buried in her subconscious that she just didn't want to do this anymore. So maybe I'll just do something stupid, but I just don't think that it was that calculated.
Well, here's my only thing. I don't know what was going on. I was reading stories since then about, oh yeah, you know, Roseanne was not, you know, she was very nice on the set and she would sit in the writer's room. I don't believe that this time around she was as, involved in the minutia like she was the last time when the show was on the first run. She was running that thing. She was overseeing the writers. She was sitting in the writer's room. That was her show. She was steering that
thing. Right, right, yes.
And this time it seemed from the stories that I've read is that she was not walking around there with an iron hand. And she was much more, you know, kind of laid back and letting the powers that be do the job, which, you know, once again, I mean, she's 20 years old or two. So there, that may, you know, she might just be a little more mellow, but
yeah, I think, and it seems like she kind of generally is than she used to be. Because I think the back in the day, there was all kinds of stuff going on yeah. set. I think, you know.
Well, here's my thing, though. I'm wondering too. You know, from the standpoint, like I said, she wasn't looking for this to happen. It came to her, and then all of a sudden, it became a hit that was almost inevitable that another season would come, whether they wanted it or not. And like I said, I don't know if she had to do what she did in order to quit. It made things certainly easy for her. She, you know, she certainly had to take her public hits. But if you watched the episodes, and this is my real point, if you watched those real episodes, it didn't seem like she was really into it. I mean, she's not a great actress to begin with.
No, she's but, really not. She never was.
No, she never was. But if you looked, it's like, She was out of everybody in that cast, if you watch those, and I think they may even be rerunning them, I'm not sure, this summer. Out of everybody, she was the lowest energy. She just seemed to like walk around and, you know, she did the laugh, which she has to do. But a lot of times it almost looked like she was reading her lines.
Like she's phoning it in.
I felt, yeah, I mean, look, I don't know how invested she really was. I think initially, you know, as much as it was the same way when the show was taken off about, oh, you know, it's a chance for these, you know, all these people had lost their jobs. Well, maybe it was like, hey, there's, who knows, 10 episodes, or I think it was only 8 episodes initially that they did. I think it was 8 episodes. Oh, for 8 episodes, it might be fun to put the Roseanne smock back on and see how it was. But I don't think she was over, I didn't feel that she was overly invested. I do feel that John Goodman and you know, and Laurie Metcalf, certainly there was a lot of energy there. Everybody, all the other actors, but I felt like she wasn't a weak link because she was still being Roseanne. I mean, she could play that.
No, but see, that's kind of the thing though. Laurie Metcalf and John Goodman are like seasoned veteran actors. They're serious actors. Roseanne never was an actor. She's a comedian who got a show. So,
yeah, I don't know. I understand. I mean, she was never, like I said, even in her heyday, she was not. She was the weakest link in terms of the you know, the actors on the show in terms of the regulars. But I'm just wondering. It just seems like, you know, she had been out of the limelight for a long time. She'd been living on, like I said, she'd been literally on a macadamia farm in Hawaii, and maybe there was to your point. You know, I don't know how deep down it was. You know, buried in her psyche. But it just, you know, that the comment and the tweets that she made were so over the top and so unnecessary and not even timely. You know, this, you know, to bring up Valerie Jarrett, you know, who cares?
Well, right. It seemed very weird.
So I don't know what's going to happen. But the thing that's even driven me more crazy, so we will see. There's going to be 10 episodes. So I think ABC has given it a green light, but they're also, you know, going to wait and see. They didn't get a full season order. They want to see if this show can survive. And I guess the question is for everybody, you know, it depends on, you know, how much you like Roseanne and how integral you felt she was to the show, and we will find out now just how integral she was. But then that sort of dies down, and then this whole Connors thing gets announced, and then like 2 or 3 days later, Tom Arnold comes out saying how he has got was going to get access to some tapes from Trump's embattled lawyer, and he's going to blow the lid on Trump, and you know, I mean, and he's so off the wall and so manic as it is, and I'm sitting there looking at this because that was for a couple of days. That was all the news. Tom Arnold is going to impeach the president,
right?
And I'm like,
well, he was also saying, I mean, he was jumping in on the Roseanne thing, saying, oh, well, it was just a matter of time before this was going to happen.
And I'm sitting here going, why are Tom Arnold and Roseanne both in the news again? They were goofballs at the beginning when they were married. It was so ridiculous. It was a sideshow marriage, and the media covered it, and they were acting like buffoons, and they were mooning people, and she was singing the national anthem, and then he had his own show, and he was on that show, and they were, you know, going in public and being goofs, and it was, and the, you know, the tabloids loved it, and then of course they got divorced, but I mean they were such a sideshow to begin with, and now 25 years, I'm sitting there going, Tom and Roseanne again? I mean, they're not married. They don't even really speak, I don't think, much. And I'm like, again with this? So, and not even was that show a reboot. It's like 2018, the year is a reboot.
Right. From 1993. Or you've gone back in time. Maybe, Jamie, you better check your car. Jamie has like a flex capacitor put in your
I swear.
You've actually gone back in time.
I'm like,
I always tease you that you're so far behind, but maybe.
Okay, you want to? Okay, this is something that talk about. There's never a dull moment. So. We were at the baseball game. Yeah, I think we're at the baseball game. No, we were at before the concert at the Hollywood Bowl, right? So something was going on with as I'm sitting there, and we got there early to beat traffic. So I'm just, you know, people watching, and so of course everybody's bugging the hell out of me, you know, with all their ridiculous behaviors. They're millennial.
Did you just go from person to person going, and what are you doing?
Well, this guy has this there's a guy with an Alaskan husky.
at a game?
At the concert.
Oh, at the concert.
Yeah,
right,
but
even still, at the concert?
Yeah, at the concert, sitting next to him.
Was it like a service dog?
No, I don't think so. Didn't look like it, and he's walking around. He goes, look at me. Because you got this giant, you could almost ride the darn thing. And I'm
right.
Like, so there's just all these people are bugging me. And I said, I was just born 40 years too late. I should have been born, already, 40 years ago, I'd be 70 something. I would have been great, And but the funny thing is my mom had me when she was in her early 40s.
Oh, okay.
So in theory, so while we're sitting there waiting for the concert to start, now I start like going, what if, right? So I said, I actually could have been born 20 years before I was born.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
So I would have been like in my 70s now, which would have been just perfect for me. I would have been more than happy to be, in my 70s now. And not have to worry about all this because right now I'm stuck in the middle.
Right,
I'm not young and I'm not old, and I'm in the middle of this, and I don't like any of it.
Right,
But
I can tell you that my dad is in his 70s and he has a flip phone, which is making me think that you're veering more toward that end of the spectrum.
So wait till where this goes. So I said, in theory, especially back, when my mom, I said, they had babies young, back then.
Oh, yeah.
In the early 20s. I said, in theory, I could have been born in 1940, or 1942. I said, I actually could have been born then. And so then Jamie, because Jamie's mom is 75 right now.
Oh, right? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. She's relatively young. So.
Oh, that's very young.
Yeah.
She's like not that much older than my parents.
Right. And so she goes, well, if you were 70, you could have married my mom.
Oh.
And then.
Wait.
And then I blew her mind. And I said, I could have been your dad.
This is getting very Back to the Future. Maybe you do have a flex capacitor.
And then she went, whoa, okay, wait a minute. We got to stop this.
Yeah, that
But I'm like, in theory, I could have been your dad.
Wow.
And my mom used to always say, because my mom would say, you know, oh, I should have had you when I was younger. You know, and once again, I would say to her, Mom, you understand that right. if you would have had a baby, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 years before, it wouldn't have been me.
Right. That's
and she
right.
said, well, what do you mean? I had you. And I'm like, no, but it's a different egg.
Right.
You know, but see, you know, she only had one kid. So in her mind, you know, that one kid is the one. I said, you know, if she had two or three, she'd understand the concept better. I'm like, Mom, I'm like, you know, I'm like, when someone has a second kid, they don't have a double.
Right.
You know,
it's just a clone. You just have a clone of the same
kid. I mean, she wasn't getting the concept. Like, all the eggs are not the same. And all the sperm are not the same. There's you know, fluctuations here. But she would say, oh, I should have had you. I said, well, you would have had you may have had a child sooner.
It just wouldn't have been you.
But it wouldn't have been me. And that blew her mind. You know, she couldn't grasp that. But I was saying, I was like, wow, I said, I could have been your dad. And she just went, okay, let's just stop here.
Yeah, she's like, you're freaking me out.
Yeah, right,
okay?
Exactly.
And I'm only listening to this story.
Well, once again, I mean, it's always fun talking to you, and I always fun going off on tangents. Although I'm used to going off on tangents now because I was driving the freeways of California.
Yeah.
And they certainly do. And those freeways in California are crazy, too, because they almost seem to, like, they all go to the same place.
Right.
There's, like, you go on this on the 10 and it says Los Angeles. You go on the 405, it says Los Angeles.
I know,
right?
You go on
the 110, it says Los Angeles. Like, wait a minute.
I know.
How am I still? Why don't I just? And I found out from my standpoint, especially where we were staying, the best street in the world. If you're going to California, get on Pico. Best street you can get.
Do you know what? We had to take the side streets from West Hollywood to Santa Monica because it just so happened that the Gay Pride Parade was going on in West Hollywood when we were like right as we were trying to get from one place to the other. And as you can imagine, I mean, that is a massive, massive event there.
Right,
it's huge. It's a huge parade. It's a huge day of celebration. And like all of the local businesses and bars and restaurants are also involved in addition to like there's lots of parade floats. And so there's all these road closures. And so it was really, we were actually stuck for a while. I actually didn't think we were ever going to get out of West Hollywood. I was like, we're just going to have to stay here for a few more days. but once we had to take some of the side streets, but once we got on Pico, I was like, all right, we're on our way. It's just a straight shot then to like Shutters, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, that's the best road to be on. It takes you literally downtown. So when in doubt, if you're afraid of the highways, just take Pico and you will be fine. Well, thank you, Emily. It was always fun. We will talk again. And if you can find episode 109 on the dark web.
I know. I have to find the dark web first and then I'll work on episode 109.
By all means, I urge you to do that. But if not, we will talk to you again.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks, Jim.
Okay. Take care. And so that ends episode 111 of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. And you may notice a few little glitches here, and then I'm actually taping this from my home now, so I'm getting used to some new equipment. So if it sounds a little, here's some little beeps and pops, that's what it is. But thank you for listening, and we will be back again with episode 112. So right now, I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. In fact, let me play that music again. There you go. See, that's one of the nice things. So this has been Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, episode 111. Thank you for tuning in. Every Monday, a new episode is on WGNplus.com. Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic from the end of the web to your screens.